141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set to leave pre-season behind and go full steam ahead into the new league campaign. The League Cup group stage is done and dusted. A few casualties in the top flight. The Celtic draw, Kilmarnock and Rangers are paired with Morton, and Wolves and Hoffenheim were the opposition for Glasgow's big two at the weekend as finishing touches were put in place. And Brendan Rodgers says he doesn't expect any £15 million signings this summer with the transfer window still in full flow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Roger Hannah.
And what about this place, Gordon?
Honestly,
a brand new season, a brand new studio, a brand new way to watch and listen to Super Scoreboard. Brand new signings like Kwon and Yang at Celtic, Dessers and Danilo at Rangers, and a brand new campaign where everyone can dream that it's going to be their team's season. Thank goodness Clyde One bucked the train and stuck with the same old pundits.
Absolutely, and spent some money as well on this brilliant studio as well. So yeah, but after that last weekend of that League Cup, for me, a few managers already start to feel the pressure at this early stage of the season. But it's all eyes on next week. Cannot wait.
Some things never change. We'll get to the changes in a minute. But 01419511025, and we want you to get in touch. It's a new season here in Scottish football and Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to give us a call. We want you to tweet us at Clyde SSB and get in touch as early as you can to share whatever it is, within reason, that is on your mind. But as the guys have alluded to, they couldn't wait. They were like coiled springs. It is a bit different nowadays, because not only can you listen to us, you can watch us until your heart is content. I said it last week, it is worth repeating. Why would you not want to look at Hugh Keevans whilst you're eating your dinner? And no one's come up with a good enough answer yet, so I'll stick with it. If you are listening, thinking, what's all this about? Check it out at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You can see the show live streamed there every night. You can do it on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube if you search for that. I think the kids say like and subscribe. Mm-hmm. Roger, Hannah, that's what I'm told, whatever that means. And the Clyde One Facebook page as well. So
and Lady Keevan
don't mess
says,
it up, basically.
Lady Keevan says if she's had to sit and watch him while eating her dinner for 50 years, the rest of the country can do it now.
And don't think it's gone unnoticed. If you looked at this man, he said the Clippers out. What number is that? Have we got that? Looks fresh.
That's a one, a half, then a one, then a one and a half, then a clean shave as well.
And a brand new crisp white polo shirt for the occasion. I don't know about this guy.
It's the Arnie collection.
I don't know about this guy right enough.
I'm going to have to raise my game. Or move to a night when I'm on my Gordon Dale.
Well, I'm worried about him. We'll deal with them later in the week. I've got a few worries as this week progresses. I am very, very worried about Wilson and Dale, their attire, their behaviour, their conduct. We'll deal with them tomorrow. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm quite excited. I noticed, you know, it was 6 years ago, popped as social media always reminds you. So 6 years ago tonight, I did this show for the first time ever. And here we are 6 years on with a fancy new studio, a bright new dawn, or whatever the phrase is, and you can watch us as well as listen.
Yeah, and listen, there's nothing new for the likes of Kenny, for the likes of Celtic's Mark Wilson.
They
were on the television.
Yeah,
superstars, Champions League, Cup Finals, huge league deciders. The last time Gordon Dale was on television, it was black and white.
You're my dark horse for this week, though, right? Because you're right. You're in superstar company, Kenny Miller and Mark Wilt, Gordon Dale. I mean, Man City, the life that man has led. I'm expecting one or two "didn't know that's what Roger Hanna looked like" comments.
Oh,
I think you're the man. Because again, Hugh Keevans, he's plastered everywhere for the last 70 years or whatever.
A lot of disappointed people in Glasgow and the West.
I'm going to check Twitter already. I think you're the one. You're the one that's going to be, "I didn't know that's what Roger Hanna looked like." You think, Kenny?
Well, listen, there's a big chance when you look at the star-studded lineup that we've got ex-players and journalists on the show. It would be like you say, Hugh. I mean, Hugh's been here forever. You know, everybody knows Hugh. Everybody knows what he looks like. So, yeah, maybe you might be right.
I think you've got a new cardigan for the occasion. That's what I'm wondering.
My sources tell me he has his wardrobe planned for later in the week.
Good. Well, listen, look, it's a exciting new change for us and hopefully for you as well. I can already see quite an interesting, we'll leave it at that, response on social media out there. But for some of you, it doesn't have to change at all. If you think that sounds terrible and I just want to listen to the show, well, great, you can still listen the exact same way that you used to radio on your Clyde One app, on your smart device, however you usually listen. Don't let us take you out your habit if you don't want to. I know lots of you go out and about at this time of night, coming home from work, taking the kids maybe to football training or classes or whatever it may be, and you want to listen along in the car. All of that is absolutely fine. Some things never change. We just thought we'd mix it up a bit for this season in our fancy new studio. As we, I mean, I must admit, what about the Clyde One Super Scoreboard branded mugs? I've been here 6 years, never seen a Clyde One Super Scoreboard branded mug, and straight away, because the big cameras are on, they've got you all kitted out. It's amazing what a bit
I wasn't offered a tea or a coffee when we came in.
We could do with some branded tea or coffee in the branded mugs. That would be good.
It is a fair point. Anyway, 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Get in touch on Twitter at ClydeSSB. And if you want to abuse, sorry, if you want to give polite feedback about the way Roger, Hannah, Kenny Miller and myself look and act within the studio, you can. Just keep it sort of polite. No? Won't hold my breath?
No,
I don't think so. Anyway, tell me why it's going to be such a good season, because we're back. We've had a great summer. Andrew McLean, in the 1 hour show, you guys have both been involved, but we're back with a bang. Focus now on the return of the Premiership. Why is it going to be such a good season? Sell it to me.
This is always a great week in the season, because every supporter, doesn't matter what your team is, they will believe that this can be their season. Now, for Celtic and Rangers fans, that means winning the title. For Aberdeen, Hibs and Hearts fans, that means finishing the best of the rest. Maybe, if you look at the Viaplay Cup so far, maybe for St Johnstone and Dundee fans, it just means staying in the division. But you will see, we've got a piece of paper in front of us here where Super Scoreboard are asking for our predictions of the season.
I'm already looking forward to that.
That will be Saturday. They will all differ, I'm quite sure, because, listen, some people will think one team will win the league, some people will think another will win the league. Who stays up? Who's going to be player of the year? Who's going to be the top goal scorer? You just don't know. And there are so many new faces in the league this season who have come from all around the globe. How do they settle, Gordon?
Sell it to me, Kenny. Why is it going to be such a good season?
Well, what you're hoping for as a fan, the title race goes right down to the wire. It's not won early like it pretty much was this season. There's going to be the excitement that there has been, to be honest, over the last couple of seasons going into the top six. Who's going to make it? Who's not? I mean, I think two seasons ago, there was about three, four points between five or six teams that were all trying to get into that top six. I think Motherwell and Ross County eventually got there. So I think there's a lot to play for. I think down the bottom of the league as well, it'll always be interesting. A couple of teams already, like you say, St Johnstone and Dundee have not got through in the cup competitions. Ross County, who were in the playoff last year, they'll not want to be in that situation again. And Kilmarnock will be trying to pull themselves further away for that relegation like they were last year. So there's so much to play for. Again, when you're really focusing on the top, it's, for me at the moment, it's way, way too soon to be picking who's going to win leagues. And I know you'll have the
we're going to make you,
listen, I know you're in, I'll sit on the fence. Absolutely sit on the fence, because I think at this moment in time, particularly in the Rangers' point of view, it's way, way too early to judge what they're going to be and all the new signings I've came into the team. So, but listen, absolutely buzzing for Saturday.
Absolutely. 0141 951 1025. Roger's right, I do like this time of the season, because we can all dream about what your team's going to achieve. It might be absolute nonsense, it might come nowhere near to fruition, but nevertheless, I like this week. So get in touch, let us know, I suppose, all about pre-season in general. Why don't you tell us what you've learned from your team in pre-season, and does it matter? Because I know a lot of people completely disregard it, don't think it matters at all. So what have you learned over pre-season, and how much does it matter? I think judging by social media, it does matter quite a lot now, because we're just so desperate for a kind of football fix over the summer. So Hoffenheim and Wolves, the opposition at the weekend, for Rangers and Celtic respectively. What did you learn? Did you learn anything? Does it matter? Let's start summing up pre-season. I know Celtic have gone and stuck another game in, and a very worthwhile one tomorrow as well for James Forrest's testimonial. But by and large, pre-season is done. So what have you learned, and how much does it matter? The transfer window very much open. Any St Johnstone fans out there? Is your season ruined already? Or did teams like St Mirren last year show that you can recover from League Cup disaster to go on and have a good season? So what have you taken away from the League Cup group stages? They are finished. The draw was completed last night as well. I'm sure you saw them. Morton heading to Ibrox, Rangers, Celtic, sorry, going down to Kilmarnock. St Mirren Motherwell, quite a tasty one, an all Premiership tie. So there's a few in there. Let us know what you made of it. I can see calls coming in, so we'll do that in just a second. We usually do this on a Monday, and I thought we would throw ourselves back into it since it is a new season. Limited games, only the Viaplay Cup. Do you have a result of the weekend for me?
Well, No Dippo, no problem. Air United 6.
Everything's about Air United.
Alloa 0, top of the group, right through to the last 16. Davy Martindale and Livingston, beware.
Honestly, Robbie Burns over there never fails to give it a mention, Kenny.
I've got to go Stirling Albion.
Obviously.
Away at St Johnstone. It's just it's an incredible result. I mean, to go there and win probably would have been enough to get it, but to go and win in that manner,
yeah.
Incredible result.
I think we might revisit that at one of the next categories. Any goals of the weekend? You have to search far and wide to find them.
You know something? I'm going to go for an old pal, an old teammate of Kenny's, Kirk Broadfoot. Back in the Championship with Morton, having played in the Lowland League last season, he scores his first goal for Morton at the weekend in the Cup. And lo and behold, it gets them in as one of the best runners up, and he's now going back to Ibrox to take on Rangers.
Student of the game, he's managed to see all the goals. Any catch your eye?
And I've not seen all the goals. I'll put that there right now. But I think was it St Mirren's first goal was a really good team move, and finished off. So I'll go for that.
Any howler of the weekend? I mean, I like to think that we don't do too much negativity in the opening day of the season. But who am I kidding? This is Scottish football. What was your howler of the weekend?
For all those who don't like VAR. There should have been VAR in the Aviva on Saturday afternoon, because I thought Matt Doherty going down under the challenge of Joe Hart, not a penalty.
Brilliant. Now we're back. We're complaining about penalties and pre-season friendlies. This is now a no.
We've been
back
on last week. Todd Cantwell, that one midweek as well. So we're right back into it.
I feel like I've never been away, Kenny.
And I'm just going to flip it. I'm going to go St Johnstone as a whole. I mean, it's last season, not making it through. This season again, new manager at the helm. You're hoping for something different. A positive start to the season, and then to finish it off, I mean, it was just an incredible result one way, but a really, really poor result for St Johnstone in front of their own fans.
Listen, we can get stuck into that. If anyone wants to talk League Cup group stages, you know the number, which leaves us with man of the weekend, top performer.
I'm going to go young Lennon Miller. I think he's came into this Motherwell team over this the cup. It's his second goal of the season already. And looking already that he's going to be it could be a big player for Motherwell this year.
And incredible to think, because history making in here, of course, the first night that we've streamed the show live that you can watch it as well, and Roger Hanna's shirt is actually older than Lennon Miller. It's amazing when you think about it, isn't it? Only by a couple of months, I should point out. But nevertheless, Roger.
His team lost 3-0. He only played 45 minutes.
Where is
this
going?
Special mention for Martin Boyle. He has been out for a long, long time. He's missed the World Cup. He's missed half a season at Hibs. He got 45 minutes at Blackpool at the weekend, and Hibs might just need him on Thursday night in Europe.
I like it. 01419511025. Let's get stuck in. The first caller of the new season, the first caller of this new era of being able to watch Clyde One Super Scoreboard, it's Stephen in Wishaw. How's it going, Stephen?
Yeah, hi there, how's it going?
Now please tell me you've phoned to just talk football and not to slaughter us for how bad we look on TV.
No, definitely football.
Good man, what's on your mind tonight?
I'm really worried about the Rangers attack options. I'm a Rangers fan. The Rangers attack options for me look really good, but I'm quite baffled that they're not targeted any defenders. The defence really worries me for the season, especially like the fullbacks. I've watched a couple of the friendly and they just seem to be making the same mistakes as last year. The defending is just, I don't see why it changed, but they're the same defenders, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I did say you don't have to be optimistic about the new season. That's just the beauty of it. Pre-season does bring that fear sometimes, or that uncertainty, or maybe that dissatisfaction at what you've seen your team do. Is Stephen right to have concerns about Rangers defensively in particular?
I think some of the goals that they've lost, and I think Michael said it himself in post-match interviews, have been pretty poor. And again, I think for Rangers fans now looking to try and be optimistic going into this new season, it's the only area of the team that you're probably looking at that it'll probably be the same back four at finish the season, with Goldson coming. For me, it'll be Tavernier, Goldson if he's fit, Suter and Barisic. It's going to be your back four. We've not seen a lot of Sterling as yet. I think with a little injury over the pre-season, so you're probably going into the first league game and probably the Champions League qualifier with a back four is there. The one thing I would definitely say the other two areas of the team are stronger, so maybe that's an area where the Rangers fans are looking and thinking, and definitely Stephen is, that they would have liked to seen it been strengthened the same way as maybe the other areas of the team. But I still think it's a strong back line. Yep, there's been poor goals lost over pre-season, and when you look back at the end of last season. There was some mistakes. I wouldn't say there was particularly bad defending, but there was some really poor individual errors that cost goals, high profile goals as well. So it's listen, there's still 5 weeks to go to the transfer window. That could be rectified once the start of the season comes.
Rangers need to sign a defender, Kenny. It's as simple as that, because the back four you mentioned there won't strike fear into the hearts of.
But they've signed two, Roger. That's the thing, though. They've signed Balogun and obviously they've signed Sterling.
Yeah, but for me, Sterling's back up for Tavernier and Balogun's back up for, as you say, Suter and Goldson. But Suter's had a few injuries in his career. He missed the majority of last season. Goldson twice last season missed spells. He's not going to be fit, I don't think, for Kilmarnock at the weekend. Barisic, is he ahead of Yilmaz? Is he behind Yilmaz? Nottingham Forest, we're looking at Barisic. Could he go? He's in the last year of his deal. I just think, when you think, Hollander has left and Sands isn't there anymore and people like that have gone. Ben Davis, for me, didn't cut it last season at all. And I think once José Fuentes is in, from LAFC, I think in the last few weeks of the window, Rangers will target a defender.
So, Stephen, is a lot of this coming from what you've seen in pre-season? How much do you read into that? You know, we said it at the top of the show, a lot of people don't necessarily pay that much attention, but you almost have to. It's all you've got to go on. What have you learned? What have you taken away from the recent games?
For me, friendlies, I don't really, most seasons I don't really watch them because they don't really mean it, to me, to be honest. But I'm watching these games and, like Barisic, I know he's had a lot of stick in the last few games, but last season it was an old man running up the wings. I mean, like, it was always back the ways, side the ways. And he's got guys like John Lundstrom that still seem to get up close to the team. I don't know how he still starts. He contributes nothing when I watch the games. I'm totally worried about the defence, to be honest. I was always a big fan of Balogun, but I just think at his age, I wouldn't have brought him back in. I would have probably tried to sign. I know they were interested in Panzo, I think the guy's name was.
Yeah, I've only been back 3 days on this show, Roger Hannah, and I can already sense a theme developing, and it is around left back at Rangers. Borna Barisic, to be fair, has had criticism before. I don't think this is a new phenomenon in pre-season, but it's intensified, I think, over the summer, based on what we've had on here. And then people who were maybe looking or hoping that Yilmaz comes in and shows that actually, well, that's it, that's the fix right there. That's an obvious upgrade and that's the direction that has to be taken. Maybe that hasn't happened either. Is that where calls like this are coming from?
Yeah, I don't think Yilmaz has had a great pre-season, to be honest. I think Rangers supporters who saw him at the end of last season, as you say, were hoping he would kick on. They were hoping he would be the number one outstanding choice at left back. But Kenny Miller's just picked his Rangers first choice back four, and Borna Barisic is still in that back four. So it will really be interesting. I still don't know, having seen the Rangers results, the team lineups, the changes through the pre-season, I'm still not sure what that starting lineup will be at 5:15 on Saturday evening at Rugby Park. If it is that back four, who's in front? If Cifuentes comes in this week, does he go straight into the team? Is he ready to go into the team? I think Raskin will play. I think Cantwell will play. You know, Stephen mentioned Lundstrom. He's not the only Rangers fan who's expressed those reservations about Lundstrom this summer. So does Ryan Jack play until Cifuentes is ready to go? And what's the front three? What are, Michael Beale has given them all a go pre-season. What is the front three?
See, what I've noticed is here is this new look for Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to take a bit of getting used to. Because in old money, when no one could see us, I could just go like that to Roger Hannah. We're late for the break. Point at my watch. I could do something even more untoward, but the cameras are on us. So I just had to sit and wait and let them finish. And I'm looking at that clock thinking, We're late for the break.
Is that why you threw your phone on the floor?
It was a minor mishap. It fell out of my pocket onto the floor. But anyways, I thought I was
trying to kick you under the table there, Roger.
To try and take the hint. Anyway, we will be back very shortly. Keep those calls coming in. Thank you to Stephen. Not only the first call of the new season, the first call that you could watch, I guess. Yeah. You can see Stephen, but you can see us. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Get your thoughts in and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here on 0141 951 1025. I've never seen two pundits breathe a bigger sigh of relief at the break before. Usually it just passes off without incident, but I could tell you two were literally under the spotlight. Now that you can, of course, watch Clyde One Super Scoreboard every night as well as listen to it. Have you collected your thoughts? Are you good to go again?
Yeah, I was
good. For the second part of the show,
I was excited for a moment, because usually when nobody can see us, the producers sort of buzz about us all the time, and As soon as you went to the break, they come busting through the door. I was sure they were going to fill these branded coffee mugs. Not nothing. A bit of it.
And the thing is, if you think we dress bad, wait till you see them. If they ever happen to make an appearance on the screen, it will be quite something. Some interesting feedback though. Was it Dean? Dean sent a message in to say that Roger Hannah's younger than he thought. Outraged by that. That's not the type of feedback I had in mind, I must admit. But loads of people listening. Great. I mean, you've been spotted out and about today. Rod says he didn't look that smart when he saw you in a well-known indoor shopping centre this afternoon, he says.
Oh, was that in the avenue this afternoon? Yeah, after the gym. I was in my gym gear. Sportswear, or whatever it was, activewear. Yeah.
I mean, John Witherspoon. I like John's style. John, I mean, his name's Witherspoon and he's got his own pub, but I don't think, you know what I mean, I don't think it's that pub. He appears to have like his own bar in his house, which looks great, and he's got us, I don't know if you're trying to chase punters away, he's got us on a proper projector behind his pool table with his puggy or games machine or something in the corner. I'm happy people watch, but no one needs to see us in like a 100-inch screen. Do you know what I mean? A phone or a tablet, I think we can just about pass off. But I think John will be having his night ruined as we speak. Anyway, 01419511025. Please do get in touch with us. And in fact, John in Blantyre has done just that. How are you, John?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call, lads. I asked Roger, I said, okay, he's obviously biased towards that. I'm not sure that's nothing up with that. He's going to fancy Rangers for the...
That's former Celtic striker Kenny Miller you're talking about. I'll have you
know. By the way, see when Kenny left, I said different reasons, I suppose. Tell you, we've got a really good player there. I was actually disappointed to left because I thought he was a really good player when he was at Celtic, so none against Kenny at all.
Appreciate it, John.
He was a good player. I'm just going to ask Roger if he honestly thinks Rangers get any chance of winning the league over Celtic.
Well, you'll have to wait for my prediction to Saturday, I'm afraid, John. But do they have a chance? Yes, of course they've got a chance. You never know how these seasons are going to unfold. The season that Rangers won the league under Steven Gerrard, I think I tipped Celtic because you thought there were a juggernaut going for 10 in a row. And the juggernaut crashed that season and Rangers won the league by the first weekend in March, Kenny, you'll remember?
Yeah, it was a good few games
so
ago,
You do never know how these seasons are going to go, John. I think, you know, all the neutrals, Kenny was saying, they want a tight finish at the end of the season. We haven't had too many of those. You know, Celtic, the majority of seasons have run away with it, living out the last 12. Very seldom was there a close season within it. When Rangers won the league, they ran away with it as well. So the neutrals will want a thrilling post-split finish next May. Rangers have a chance, John. You'll need to wait and see my tip on... Well, hear my tip on Saturday because I think I'm at Celtic Park. You wouldn't see me.
I'm glad you clarified that. I thought you were going to get us in bother there. You're teasing, John, with your prediction. What has events over the summer done then to sway you either way? Because it has been a remarkable summer. You know, we forget that going into the Scottish Cup final and Celtic are going to win a treble, Ange Postecoglou is still there and Jota's still there. Now, of course, they've got a very good manager in to replace him and they still have a very good team, but just it's different. It just feels it's different from what people would have expected.
It is different. I think there's a degree of certainty at Celtic. People know Brendan Rodgers. Had Celtic gone for someone else, an unknown quantity, it might have been different. People know Brendan Rodgers. They know what Brendan Rodgers will bring. People know the majority of this Celtic squad. As you say, Jota's left, but you know, Celtic could start the title defence against Ross County on Saturday with 11 players who won the title last season.
John, sorry, I think you were trying to come back in.
I think the season that Rangers stopped, Celtic collapsed. I mean, so that's unusual. I mean, the record speaks for itself. The amount of trophies they've won over the past 10, 11 years. I watched them against Wolves. You know, they should have been, I think they hit the bar three times, as well as Kyogo's goal. You know, they gave Wolves in the first half, and maybe you can try and tell me Wolves weren't trying, because if you're no trying 2 weeks before the start of your season, so nobody can say that. So Wolves were trying, but Celtic totally outplayed them in the first half, and this is a team that's, well, mid-division, the so-called best league in the world. And I watched Rangers, and I seen the first couple of goals, and Cantwell, who's meant to be a superstar, he was back defending for most of the game. So my view is, Rangers will do all right, as usually they, against teams like Hibs, Hearts. They just They can't compete. The Celtic squad is far too good, far too strong, and what I've seen Rangers signings, I think Celtic will win the league by 10, 15 points, and I don't even think we'll be, I think we'll be done to Christmas.
See, this is the beauty of it, John, because you're more than entitled to say that, and Kenny Miller's more than entitled to have a big cheesy grin or laugh or whatever that was, and then people who are watching are more than entitled to take a clip of Kenny Miller's face, then play it back in May if it does happen, or March it'll need to be if the points gap is that. I actually didn't realise it was the Kenny Miller derby at the weekend, Celtic and Wolves. I never thought of it. Two of your former clubs close to your heart. Again, that does go back to what we said with the first caller. How much does it matter? And what can you learn? I did see Celtic fans for this game. It felt like on social media, it felt like they were a bit more they were quite encouraged with what they saw. It felt like they were happy with the way Celtic pressed and looked to go about their business. It maybe wasn't, put it this way, it wasn't the Celtic lineup you would expect to see regularly throughout the season, was it? So maybe we're still to sort of see what the familiar look looks like when it returns.
But what you've got is, we've touched on already, you've got a top level manager come in, and there was a lot of opposition to maybe Brendan going back to Celtic, a lot of noise for a certain section of the Celtic support, but they've got a top manager in there. He will come in, and I've absolutely no doubt he will move it on, he'll progress it. Celtic have been quiet for me over this closed season. Rangers have obviously had to go and do this rebuild, revamp, refresh, whatever you want to call it, and they've done it. You know, I think Michael's got a lot of the targets that he wanted through the door, and he's got them in early as well. I mean, I'm still kind of waiting, and I know Brendan's saying he's not going to go and spend big 15 million, 20 million on a player. I never expected that. I expected maybe like a big name signing, somebody to come in, you would think, wow, that is really going to impact our starting lineup. Where on the other side, they say Rangers had to sign players that are going to start, so you'll see 4, 5 maybe even starting players in that starting lineup for Rangers up when they take the field at 5:15 at Rugby Park on Saturday. And this is why, like, I think it will be close, and I think it's too early to be calling. I know John's, and he's right to be optimistic, he's just off the back of a treble. But this Rangers group's a completely new group now. We'll have to wait and see how they're going to respond to Scottish football and the challenges that they're going to be facing and the pressures they're going to be under over the course of the season. So, listen, it's interesting, it's exciting. Like I said, can't wait for the kick-off this weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, those comments that you alluded to. He was speaking to Sky today. He did, as you say, rule out any sort of 15 to 20 million pound signings on a player this summer. He is keen to improve the squad, as you would expect, but he says the transfer fees might not be as big as some people think.
We want to improve the squad. I think everyone looks and thinks that we might be bringing in a 15, 20 million pound player. Now, the reality is that won't be the case. It's not where the club is based on, but that doesn't mean there's not talented players out there that we want. So there's still quite a way to go in the window. So we'll look to improve the squad again and continue with that. We've done a lot of early business, which has been great. That allows the players to come in and settle. And of course, we want to do some more. So, but I'm quite calm in that. And as I said, the players that we have are working very well, and we'll look to bring some more in to help them.
I can almost imagine this just being taken two ways, Roger. A shrug of the shoulders from many, like Kenny, who say, well, I didn't expect Celtic to sign any £15 million players. But it was Brendan Rodgers who said it. He said the phrase, I think people are expecting £15 million player, and you know that's not going to happen. I appreciate I'm paraphrasing. What did you make of those comments?
I think he's more or less said that before earlier in the summer. Celtic's transfer policy now is there for all to see. And Brendan is a fan of it. He wants to bring in young guys like Navrocki, defender from Poland, the two Korean lads that signed last week, Telio, Holm, guys like that, who he believes he can develop. He believes he can make them better players during their spell at Celtic. And he believes he can then sell them on, but like Celtic did with Jota, sell them on at a profit. That is Celtic's transfer model. Ange Postecoglou was happy to work along with it. And I think because of the first time Brendan Rodgers was in, and he did spend some big fees the first time he was in, I think people expected him to come in and, you know, there'll be a £7 or 8 million winger, and there'll be a £6 million fullback, and there'll be a £10 million goalkeeper. And Brendan's just laying it on the line. That's not going to be happening.
See the joys of this new era on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where you can see is that I felt under pressure taking a sip of water there to make sure I was doing it in the right fashion. And I genuinely think I want to choke on it, and I'm trying to like hold it in. Can you see my eyes?
Watering.
Watering. Because I can't, at the age of 33, drink water properly under pressure.
People,
so what I'll do,
people have seen that, that is huge screen over,
I'll
the
bring
table.
James and Mary Hill, and then hopefully I can get a sneaky cough down behind the mic. James, take it away. What's your point tonight?
Hi there. I've only got two just now. It's just regarding the winner, and probably so far the signing, I think, for Celtic is, I'm a Celtic fan, and thinking Celtic will win the league comfortably, but what the other person said before Christmas, we can only wish. But regarding all of the signing so far, I think this Naroki boy looks well. Obviously I've only seen clips of him, but it was just the thinking of yourselves, what do you think so far, what you've seen, and maybe I might be wrong, but who do you think could be the best signing of the season?
Oh, I love this. James is setting up new topics for us. You've been working on your pronunciation. It's far superior to that of Roger Hanna.
Navrotsky.
Thank you. This is the man who brought us
Rocky.
This is the man who brought us Christopher Adger a couple of years ago. So he is not Navrotsky. To be trusted. No, you didn't.
I did so.
You said no Rocky.
Rewind your tellings.
No Rocky, you said.
No, I'm not having that.
You did. It was like Girvan's Apollo Creed impression.
No.
It was. Anyway, James thinks signing of the season. I mean, who knows? There's one of you in here tipped John Souter to be player of the year in Scotland last season.
No accounting for injuries.
Exactly. It might have happened. So again, we're struggling to add any accuracy to predicting the league champions, predicting signings of the season. Really tough. Is he the one then that is closest to sort of going in and impacting Celtic right now? You know, going into the starting 11.
I think James's point was, you know, maybe it's Celtic's best signing, might not be the sign of the season. I don't know if I heard that wrong, though. But anyway,
he was given it the full build up.
No, well, I would definitely say out of the players that have been signed so far by Celtic, he would look like the one. It's also an area of the pitch that I think that you could maybe dip into and improve. So he definitely looks like one that could step in. They've talked very, very well of him in relation to the potential and what he could be and the levels he could reach. So it does look like a real positive signing. I think there is a few signings that Celtic have made that do look to me again like maybe kind of projects. There's a lot of development might need to come in a couple of them before they maybe really impact that starting lineup. But Navrotsky looks like he could be the one ready to step in. I mean, it's the Carroll Stalfelt, it's the Carter Vickers partnership, which was good. I just think, again, that left side of that centre-back is maybe an area that you could strengthen.
James is pretty happy with that signing, certainly amongst others.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You look at the Wolves game at the weekend, Celtic start with a centre-back pairing of Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales. You can't really see that as being the pairing going forward. It's Carter Vickers and A.N. Other for me. Starfield, I thought, did fine. Did absolutely
a brilliant
fine.
Season, to be honest.
The only time there were questions asked about Starfield was after Carter Vickers was injured and Starfield was having to play with Kobayashi, or he was having to play with Iwata, you know, and he sometimes was over on the right-hand side. I know he's right-footed, but he did look more comfortable to the left of Carter Vickers. But you do always need competition. Maurice Jens was signed. Christopher Julian was allowed to go. Kobayashi didn't convince. Iwata, for me, is not a centre-half. I know he played the cup final in some games at the end of the season. They needed someone, and I think that's why Brendan Rodgers has gone to Legia Warsaw and got him.
Thank you, James. I'll make them commit to a signing of the season when I get these predictions from them. Don't you worry. Now, we are going to get another breather before your calls. However, let me run this past you first.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Yes! The Cash Register.
Clyde One.
Yeah, your neck of the woods again, featuring Roger Hanna today with staff nurse Lynn in Ayrshire, who started the week by winning more than 51 grand on the cash register. I mean, I thought we were having a good Monday getting to come in here and see this fancy new studio. Would I swap it for 51 grand? Better not answer that. But she says she's going to spend the cash down at the house, treat herself to a holiday. And it could be you. When I say that, I don't mean you two, quite literally, but you listening or watching, you could be the ones deciding what to spend the money on tomorrow. Gary Spence is going to make the call after 3 p.m. and you need to know the amount. It's £52,365. £52,365. Enter now by texting YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get the call, answer within five rings. Make sure you know the amount And all the usual T's and C's. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entries £2, and you can enter by phoning 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at the standard rate. Lines close at 3 p.m. on Tuesday the 1st of August. It is over 18s only, and the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So for your chance to win one final recap, text YES to 61025. £52,365. Good luck.
141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. We are back with the 2 hour version of Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We take it down to an hour, of course, in the summer. Then we go back with a bang as the Premiership season nears its beginning. And it is not long at all, just a few days away, and it's a new look for Clyde One Super Scoreboard as well. Hopefully those of you who have decided to watch as well as listen tonight are enjoying it, are getting some sort of kick out of it, out of seeing what people like Roger Hanna actually look like. I told you would be the real source of fascination. Everybody knows what Kenny Miller looks like, and no one cares what I look like. So you are perfect for this. And I like the way that Joe Aitken has put it, because he says, who does Roger's voiceover? That's definitely not the voice for his face. What does that mean?
I get it.
Do you think so?
I get it. I know what he means.
To be fair, I think for quite a while, people would, if I met them, would say that they assumed I was some sort of old man, because I don't know, because they just think everyone's like Keevans and DL. I don't know. But there we are. Your voice does not match your face, says Joe Aitken. Ever had that? I mean, is that even a criticism?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't take it as such. No. I think the real losers this week are going to be Hollyoaks. Their ratings are going to plummet. Everybody's turning off the television to watch us.
Can you imagine some Channel 4 exec just tapping into the figures? What's changed? Why are we down so much? And then stumbling upon this. Brilliant, honestly. You ready for your first televised, live streamed Beat the Pundit?
Oh, that's a big
test.
Never
thought about that, did you?
No. Yeah. No, we did think about that, actually. I was doing a wee bit of homework earlier, actually, and I forgot to bring my stuff with me, so I'm winging it.
So, 10 minutes time. I spoke to the producer. I'm very, low maintenance. I don't make many requests, but I said that could we please have the pundit, really zoomed in, a real tight shot right on their face.
I don't want HD, come on.
Just to see the anguish as they try and go through the answers, but we'll see. You've got a bit of time.
I was going to ask that 50 pence. I don't see it. You had that 50 pence for months and years.
You know what? Actually,
I thought it's either in the old studio.
That's a good
point. Or Kevin's just taking it home with him.
That is a good point. I will see to that before Beat the Pundit. Anyway, it is a Ross who's up next. How's it going, Ross?
Hi, Gordon, Roger, and Kenny. Hope we've all had a good summer.
And you, Ross. Thank you.
There you go. Now I wanted to talk about the game tomorrow. Obviously, it's Celtic's first game back, but it's also a night to praise a man in Forest, and I'm looking forward to it. I think he's been long overdue, my testimonial, and I think it's just a night for us to remember what a servant he's been to Celtic, and I just think it's a good night for tomorrow for various reasons, with it being Forest's testimonial and Rodgers' first game back as well. So I'm looking forward to getting back into games at Celtic Park again.
That's a fair point, Roger, because even when James Forrest is like officially the best player in the country, as he was a couple of seasons ago, there's still a very sort of understated, quiet mood that surrounds him. Just I don't know what the type of guy he is, perhaps. So it's some effort to get a testimonial in this day and age.
Absolutely, and he's still only 32. It just seems that James Forrest has been around forever. He is one of the most decorated footballers in 135 years of Celtic Football Club. He has won multiple league titles, Scottish Cups, League Cups. He's won, I think, nearly 40 caps for Scotland. He got a hat-trick for Scotland, if you remember, a few years ago under Alec McLeish. He has been a wonderful player for Celtic, great player for Scotland, and it's lovely that he's getting recognition at the testimonial tomorrow night. It's also lovely that so many of the receipts from the game tomorrow night are going back to charity. I think it's a lovely touch by James and by the club to hand over so much money. I'd encourage people to go along and see the game and do their bit for the good causes as well. And it will be a night that James Forrest deserves, Gordon.
Absolutely. Brilliant servant to the club. I mean, fast approaching 500 appearances, over 100 goals. You've mentioned all the trophies as well. As he's had a brilliant Celtic career. I mean, he might see it out as a Celtic player. It might be a one-club man. It's good to see. When they get to this stage of their career and they've gave this amount of their, not just their career, their lives to a football club like Alan McGregor's a few weeks. So it's nice to recognise these types of guys. And like you say, you just hope that it's a full house. Get everybody there to support it. Again, it's the last game before the start of the season as well, so there'll be something there on the game. But brilliant for James to get that recognition at Celtic.
Ross, at this stage of pre-season, with a couple of days left before the Premiership returns, how are you feeling? People have got the right to change their minds multiple times throughout this week, but with a few days cushion, how do you feel?
Obviously, the transfer window has not been as spectacular as I was expecting, but I don't know, I'm just a bit nervous this year because, for example, last year under Ange, we knew exactly what we were getting. With Rodgers coming back this year, we don't know what we're getting. So I'm a bit nervous this year about if it's going to work out or not.
I get that, Roger, because you said earlier Celtic fans do know what they're getting because it's Brendan Rodgers who's been there before. But you also would get where Ross is coming from, because all they know for sure is that they're not getting Ange, so they're not getting that exact style. How much will Brendan Rodgers try and stay close to that style, because it was extremely successful? How much would he look to add his own spin on things? And then I think Ross said that, you know, the transfer window is not as spectacular as he would have hoped. Now, on one hand, Celtic maybe didn't need huge surgery because they were champions and they were comfortable, but fans like Ross were still hoping by this point there would be one or two signings that you would say, well, they'll go straight into the starting 11 and make us better.
Yeah, I mean, there is the element of, if it's not broken, you don't need to fix it, Gordon. And I think that is why Celtic's signing policy this close season has been about, I hate using the word project, but younger guys with development within them who can go at a higher price further down the line. If Celtic start against Ross County at the weekend with 11 of the players that won the league last season, I don't think Ross or any other Celtic supporters will be complaining because they did so well last season. The other side, where the unknown quantity is, how good, bad or indifferent is this new look Rangers team going to be? You know, if they all hit the ground running like Michael Beale believes they will, then they will present a greater challenge to this Celtic team than the Rangers team of last season could to Ange's side.
I look at Celtic and I agree with Ross. I don't think like the summer recruitment, and there is unknowns in there, you know, again, like Kwon and Yang, like similar to Kyogo's and Maeda's, we don't actually know what they're going to be bringing. Are they going to impact that first team, that starting team? I'm not too sure. The one thing I do know is I don't think they're as strong in terms of their starting lineup. They've lost Jota, he's one of the stars of the team. At this moment in time, it doesn't look like he's been replaced. And again, to go back to Brendan Rodgers' comments, I don't think Celtic fans are expecting 15, 20 million pounds on a replacement, but they're expecting maybe a more recognised name to come in. You think, you know, like Gordon just says, yep, he's going to come in and replace Jota, or he's going to do it. And I'm saying Alistair Johnson's injured as well. So
has the last few years not changed that? Because as an example, if you offered Celtic right now someone who would be signed to make the impact that Kyogo has, you would absolutely take it all day long.
Yeah.
Don't know who Kyogo was, you know that. Yep. We keep banding phrases around like marquee signing.
Everybody's not Kyogo, Gordon. You know
that. No, that's not the point. I'm talking about this, the notion that the success of a signing or the excitement levels that should follow it are dependent on whether you've heard of them before or what size the price tag is.
But I think that's normal, though, is it not?
That's because but it doesn't make it right.
No, it doesn't make it right, but it's because of what you know. For instance, when Moussa Dembele comes up in 2016, this guy's wanted by everybody in Europe, you know, and he's coming out as a real, still a young player, by the way, but a young player with huge, huge potential that you've actually been able to see how he's playing. Scott Sinclair comes. This is a guy that's played at some of the biggest clubs in England. So you know what you're getting. Listen, it's not right, and it doesn't guarantee, one, that they're going to be a success, or two, a Kyogo, a Yang, or a Kwon are not going to be a success. But it is an unknown, you know, so you can't fully maybe get excited behind the signing as much as you would like to. You know, you can't fool it because you just don't know.
It's tough, though, isn't it? Because then the so-called ones that you know sometimes do flop when they come up here.
Of course they do. You know, the whole thing is, like, there's an unknown in recruitment. It's the toughest thing for any football club or football manager. You know, and I think what Celtic have done and Michael to a lesser extent in his shorter time at Rangers, Celtic have definitely earned the trust of their supporters with the recruitment that they have done with the Mayeras, with the Kyogos, etc.
Right, we will leave it there. Thank you very much to Ross. Now, I'm excited about every bit of tonight's show. It feels new and it's shiny and it's all a bit of a novelty factor attached to it, but I am particularly looking forward to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit like you've never seen it before, quite literally. 0141 951 1025. If you want to take part again, there is history to be made here. The first ever live streamed Beat the Pundit contestant. You have to get your call in before 7 o'clock, and then you show off to us that you've got superior football knowledge to Roger Hanna or Kenny Miller, and there will be a signed ball heading your way if you can. It is that simple. 0141 951 1025. These two are sweating already, and Beat the Pundit's up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. And we are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. We're everywhere right now, to be quite honest, because if you go onto YouTube, you can now watch the show. It's there on the Clyde One Facebook page. It has been streamed live on that Twitter feed as well. And the feedback for you two is unbelievable, outstanding, honestly.
All positive.
Most of it I can't read out on a family show, but the stuff that I can read out has been overwhelmingly positive. So well done. Lots of people excited, as you can imagine, to see how Mark Wilson and Gordon DL fare tomorrow. Not quite as sensible as you two, so we'll see if the show lasts longer than two nights.
My worry for Daz isn't so much the show tomorrow or the show on Thursday, it's what he now does on Wednesday night, bath night, because he can sit in the radio.
That's a great point.
In the bathroom while he's in the bath. How can he watch while he's in the bath?
And how off-putting would that be for the Marvin Bartleys and Simon Donnellys of the world, knowing that Gordon DL was watching whilst in the bath?
That's not a good
answer.
That.
That. Don't
picture.
Answer that. Right. 0141 951 1025. Some good calls already. Sort of looking back on pre-season, what have we learned? How much does it matter? The transfer window's still open as well. If you want to look back on the League Cup group stages, please do. Come on, where are you? St Johnstone fans in particular, St Mirren, Motherwell, Dundee, Dundee United, anyone else who is involved, good, bad or indifferent, get your calls in, please. I'm even going to give you the chance to win some money in the not too distant future. But before that, something money can't buy.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I like every Beat the Pundit. I particularly like Monday's Beat the Pundit because it's the first of a new week. Add on to that that it's the first of the new season and the fact that it's the first ever live streamed Beat the Pundit. I'm like a kid at Christmas. This is going to be unbelievable. Unless I mess up the questions, of course, and then everyone's got the clip for all eternity. You looking forward to it?
Always.
I mean, the king of Beat the Pundit, no less, here for the first televised version. Are you ready to let... I mean, should the coin fall your way, are you ready to let the listeners see that you do Beat the Pundit with your eyes shut?
Oh, no, the eyes will need to be open. This could be my weakness.
But that's
now.
Like your secret... They have to be shut.
No, they don't. No.
Heads, it will be Roger. Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. Let's bring in tonight's contestant. The first, a history maker, is Sean in Tallcross. How's it going, Sean?
How you doing, guys?
Are you well? Have you ever played before, actually?
I've not played before, not yet, no.
Even better, even better. You're making your debut under the most terrific circumstances. Are you alone, Sean? Have you got any help in the background?
I'm alone.
Because you're allowed. People, I think people panic when I ask that, as if I'm going to catch them out. It's fine. Yeah. You can bring 15 mates round for all I care, particularly when Gordon DL's on. He doesn't like that. Anyway, heads, it will be Roger Hanna. Tails, it will be Kenny Miller. I'm waiting on people zooming in now, or people can now view my tossing technique. It's tails. It's Kenny Miller. So we're going to have to wait to see if Roger Hanna's eye closure continues next week. It's Kenny Miller. Look, I actually think he's a little bit nervous, you know.
I'm always nervous when Beat the Pundit.
Let me look at these questions.
Give me an Old Firm game any day of the week, but no, Beat the Pundit.
Yeah, it's a penalty or something, you'd handle that rather than
I don't know
what
penalty's got.
Anyway, right, what we'll do then is we'll give Kenny some greatest hits radio to listen to. He'll give us the thumbs up. See, this is your scene, what it was like behind the scenes. I used to press the button. Now I don't press the button. I'm relying on someone else doing it. You can't even hear me either, can you? Because you're listening to greatest hits radio. Good. We're learning on the job.
Tina Turner.
No less. Okay. I think we're ready, Sean. You should know the drill, but very straightforward if you don't. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep, perfect.
Good man, Sean. In Toll Cross, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any scorer in the Scottish Cup final in May.
Ooh, Kyogo.
Jose Cifuentes plays for which international side?
Pass.
Who is the only current Scotland international playing club football in Saudi Arabia?
Pass.
Palmerston is the home of which Scottish side?
Queen of the South.
In what year did Celtic last win a Champions League group stage game?
2015.
Okay, let's bring Kenny Miller back. Are you ready?
Ready to go.
Ready as you'll ever be. 30 seconds on the clock, Kenny Miller, and your time starts now. Name any scorer from the Scottish Cup final in May.
Kyogo.
Jose Cifuentes plays for which international side?
Ecuador.
Who is the only current Scotland international playing club football in Saudi Arabia?
Jack Henry.
Palmerston is the home stadium of which Scottish team? In what year did Celtic last win a Champions League group stage game?
2020.
What championship side were the only team to win all their League Cup group stage games?
Ayr.
And name any goalkeeper who played every minute of every Scottish Premiership game last season.
Joe Hart.
Sean, what do you think?
I think he got me, definitely.
He definitely had the speed. I know he held on to it for quite a while into the later stages of his career. He still had a bit of a turn of pace. He got through more than you, but it's not always what it's all about. Name any scorer from the Scottish Cup final in May. You had the choice of Kyogo, Abada, Jota and Daniel Mackay. You both went Kyogo. So it was, and look at that, brilliant. First night back, 1 hour in, and the chance for me to wash my hands and throw somebody else under the bus. Producer Chris has just buzzed in my ear and said, sorry, the Scottish Cup final was in June. And it was in June. So there we are. Let that be a lesson to you. But luckily, you both still understood the question. So we'll move seamlessly on and pretend that these things don't happen. Jose Cifuentes plays for Ecuador. Kenny goes 2-1 in front. Jack Henry, Saudi Arabia. What a move for the old bank balance. 3-1 to Kenny Miller. Queen of the South is the home of... No, Palmerston, sorry, is the home of Queen of the South, as Marvin Bartley will tell us when he joins us on Wednesday. So well done to Sean, you got that. But Kenny was a man in form at this point. 4-2 up then. Celtic last won a Champions League group stage game in...
I'm going to say 2017.
Anderlecht, remember?
Oh, I do.
Away,
yeah,
under Brendan Rodgers. So still 4-2. The championship side to win all the League Cup group stage games, Airdrie. Absolutely flying under Rhys McCabe, aren't they? They really are doing great things. So it's still 4-2 to Kenny. I think you know that's the end of the road, Sean, and you'll kick yourself for this. He'll be on your you're not allowed to look at your phone on this show now that we're televised, but your pal will be on the text here. Who's the only goalkeepers that played every minute of the Premiership?
Liam Kelly, of course. Joe Hart no player.
112 consecutive games he played, Liam Kelly.
Joe Hart didn't play, but I think Ange probably wishes he had at Easter Road at the end of the season.
Remember?
How was that? I don't remember. Listen, the game's done anyway, all right?
But Sean, you have definitely phoned in the wrong night because I've got my phone at a jaunty angle in front of me. And Mr. Gordon DL of Motherwell says he get one.
There we are, Sean. You've got to pick your night. You've got to be clever with this, Sean. Thank you very much for taking part.
Cheers, well done, Kenny.
Cheers, Sean.
Man, a 4-2 win for Kenny Miller. There you are. You're a history maker.
Off to a flyer.
Not only the first contestant, the first pundit to play the televised.
That was a lot of pressure. I felt it. I was feeling
with you. Yeah.
Are we allowed? I mean, we're laying ourselves bare to the audience today.
I certainly hope not.
Are we allowed to give some in-house secrets?
I think that's all part of it. I think that's the beauty of it.
Producer Chris, we now this season have producer John.
Welcome, producer
John. A welcome addition, and a man who clearly listens to his audience. We ask for coffee.
He gives you coffee.
Coffee.
It smells strong, by the
way.
How is his coffee? That smells
tea's
strong.
Nice.
His coffee is absolutely terrific, I have to say. His coffee, in fact, is far better than his spelling. Because I might not get the Premiership title winner right this season when we reveal the predictions on Saturday. I might not get the Championship title winner correct. But I'll certainly spell prediction correctly. Because he's asking
just
for...
Keep that held up so that the new cameras can get a good look at it.
How would you pronounce that, Gordon?
That would be... Predicating.
Yeah.
Predicating.
Predicated.
We're going to need to do better than that before Saturday, aren't we?
Falkirk fan, though.
Well, listen, we've all got our problems, don't we? 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, or you can tweet us at ClydeSSB as well. I am going to give you the chance to win some money. I mean, I know a signed ball is much more important, and that's what Sean has missed out on. I'm going to try and give you the chance to win some money in the not too distant future as well. Jim's in Rutherglen next up, though. How's it going, Jim?
Hi, good evening, guys. Welcome back. How are you doing?
All good here, Jim. Are you well? Everything good with you?
Yes, all good. Thanks very much, mate. It's just to talk about the Rangers pre-season. Obviously, we've kind of come in for a wee bit of criticism, and I kind of jumped in the bandwagon personally myself. I had to kind of have a wee word with myself. We're bedding in a lot of players. And just, is it three games to the Old Firm game? I think it is, isn't it?
Three league games, yeah.
Three league games, so like, just win, even if it's winning ugly, just make sure you get to that Old Firm game in 9 points. But my main point is actually on James Tavernier. Everybody knows Tav's qualities and his flaws are easy to see as well. Maybe Sterling is the plan for this, but I've just never understood why we've never signed a solid right back and gave Tav the freedom in the right hand side. Everybody says we've never replaced Candias. You've got Tav there to do the exact same role.
It comes up time and time again, Kenny. You've fallen into the trap. You've given a nice big shake of the head for the watching audience at home. You're not having it, are you?
No, I'm not having it. I'm sorry, Jim. It's a completely different role when you're asking James to be that guy up there and, again, do a Daniel Candias or a Ryan Kent on the wing or whatever. It's a different role. James does that role really, really well, supporting for the fullback position for me. And I know it pretty much does give you the width as Bonner does on the other side, or Youngmaz, whoever's chose to play, with the way Michael likes to play his guys inside. But I just think if you're starting higher up, you're facing back the way rather than facing forward, but it's a completely different position to ask him. If he was to play one up ahead of a fullback, I think it's completely different. Mm. And if I'm being honest, like I've just said, Michael doesn't really play his wingers that wide anymore. He plays them tucked in. If you've seen Lammers and Cantwell playing inside, or even Seema has been playing kind of inside these positions in pre-season, they're very, very rarely starting high and wide, which is the old traditional 4-3-3. So no, for me, Tav, he makes mistakes, but you cannot ever take, at the moment he's right back. He gives you the width, he can supply, he can score. By the way, he can defend. Does he make some mistakes or errors? Yes, he does, like every player does. But no, it's a completely different position for me.
The one thing, Jim, for me over the years, I've always thought a Rangers manager would come in and play three at the back and have Tavernier on one side and Barisic on the other. Tavernier and Barisic's best attributes are going forward. Their worst attributes are actually defending. And I just always wondered if someone would come in and play maybe Goldson and Suter and AN other at the back and allow those two to bomb on, two in the centre midfield and a number 10 behind two strikers. I always wondered if that would be the change. And you look at some of the signings that have been made this season, I think Rangers are probably one centre back away from having the ability to do that this season.
You did acknowledge Sterling has been signed this summer. Jim, I mean, Kenny's not having that at all is something that allows James Tavernier to move position. But even one step further then, is it about time there was a more of a competition for James Tavernier, or more someone who can fill in a bit more often?
I agree. I mean, I agree with some points there, Kenny. By the way, it's a privilege to talk to you. You're some servant for Rangers, even though you're disagreeing with me. we lose the same, I think somebody touched on it earlier, we lose the same kind of goal an awful lot. We a cut back for the flank and then somebody kind of scoring for about 8 yards out, nine or a header, seven or 8 yards out. I just think we need to be far more solid there. Ben Davis isn't the answer to the centre. I've really only got one centre-half that can defend that's going to be a regular starter, which is Goldson. The conundrum that is Barisic should have been dealt with two or three seasons ago. Easily, how he's still there, I never know. But I think Sterling will play a big part this year. I think we need a far more, especially in Europe, we need a far more solid defence.
It definitely feels like there are a lot, I don't know what the number, a lot of Rangers fans out there who are, and I don't want to put too strong a word on it, I don't know if worried is the right word, but keen to see improvements defensively going into the new season. Is that fair?
Oh, listen, of course it's fair, because that was one of the criticisms laid at the door last season, was the defensive shortcomings. The year Rangers won the league, did they lose, was it 13 goals in the course of the season?
Two at home or something?
Yeah, that was the bedrock. of the title win under Steven Gerrard. Teams that win titles don't concede a lot of goals. And there were times last season where Rangers were having to score three goals to win games.
They concede a lot of first goals as well, Roger,
didn't they? You can't continue doing that, Kenny. So Rangers defensively need to be better. And when you talk about Tavernier, Golds and Suter, Barisic as the back four, that's the same back four that lost so many of those first goals that were causing so many problems for Rangers last season. So either the personnel needs to be improved upon, or there needs to be a tweak in the system. There maybe needs to be two holders. Maybe that's why Cifuentes is coming into the team, to protect the centre-halves more than they were being protected last season. Or do you go to three at the back and allow Tavernier and Barisic more protection when they go forward?
Overall though, Jim, is there anything else out there that makes you feel a bit more optimistic? Are you still looking forward to the season? Have you got high hopes, or is the sort of the other side of it taking over?
Well, it's when you make a lot of new signings, isn't it? There's a risk to the risk element's always attached. But I'm far more optimistic this season than I was last. I just hope, as I say, we've got the three games to get to the Old Firm game. We've got to get to that 9 points. So then, hopefully, then the performances start to come with results. But so we hopefully just win ugly for a few games and then the more. Can I ask Kenny a quick question about that, actually? Kenny, did you play in a changing room, a dressing room at Ibrox when there were so many coming in one close season? And what kind of, does it affect it in a bigger way, obviously?
Well, we had, once Mark Warburton came in, obviously we had that year in the Championship, which was a disaster. And a lot of players left that were out of contract, and a lot of players came in, but we were in the Championship, so it made the transition a little bit easier. But we did still sign quite a few players the following season as well. So for me, it's no ideal. It isn't ideal. It's been necessary for Rangers that this season that they've had to sign this amount of players. I think moving forward, even again, Michael will probably be able to draw on his experiences for when he first came in with Steven in 2018, where they signed a lot of players the first couple of summers, and it's just so, so hard to get that many people into a team, to make that many changes, get them embedded. And again, they're very unique clubs, Rangers and Celtic as well, in the relations, the pressures and the demands that are put on you. So there's so much to factor in. Again, a lot of foreign players coming in this season as well. They'll have to settle in Glasgow and what life in Scotland's like. So it's no ideal, Jim, to be honest with you, but it's been necessary. And I think the players that have been signed have shown glimpses of quality already in pre-season. But the big show's on Saturday.
Thank you very much to Jim in Rutherglen. 01419511025. Right, something a bit different for the first week. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, I'm nervous in equal measure just to see how it plays out. But let me tell you, for this week only, your chance to win a bit of cash.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Pipelining with Pipeline Energy Solutions.
You two both look worried, and you should be. All this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're teaming up with our mates at Pipeline Energy Solutions. Now, they're the place to be if you're looking for vacuum excavator hire or grab lorry hire or any of these things that, quite frankly, Gordon DL, Hugh Keevans and many of the pundits don't know much about, but these guys do. And every night they're teaming up with us to give you the chance to win £250 cash. All you need to do is play our game Pipeline. See what we did there? That's what a play on Pipeline. Now, if you've ever seen Would I Lie to You, it's a little bit like that. I think we have to say that for legal reasons, that it's a little bit like that. One of the pundits is going to read out one truth and one lie, and all you need to do is work out which one is which, and if you guess correct, you win £250, courtesy of Pipeline Energy Solutions. So tonight, lucky pundit is Kenny Miller. Kenny Miller, give us one fact about yourself and one lie, and don't tell us which is which. And Roger Hannah and I will maybe try and test you a little bit.
So when I was at Wolves, Robert Plant, the lead singer of Led Zeppelin, is a big fan. Okay. Gave me an opportunity to go backstage in one of his concerts.
Okay, and your second one, please.
When I was younger, believe it or not, I played a lot of long balls, and I was a 3 times junior champion.
Oh, what an outstanding choice, Roger Hanna. Because Led Zeppelin, he is a Wolves fan, isn't he? I think that's well known.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds, what sounds more plausible to you?
Well, see, that did sound plausible, but I look at him tonight, that polo shirt.
That's a
bowler's polo shirt. And his pal, Stevie McLean, the St Johnstone manager, is a prize winning bowler in the Borders. So maybe Stephen McLean's had him down at the bowling in Peebles.
What's your like?
It has not, by the way.
Are you,
just
are you left-handed, right-handed? I don't know how that's going to help people.
I'm right-handed, yeah.
Okay.
Right-handed.
What was your like speciality on the rink?
You know, I was good. I was actually
just all-round.
I was pretty good. I did like a drive, which was a. When you go to the big heavy one straight up the middle, he smash things up.
He's won me back. Because see, when he said, "Oh, I was just good," I thought, "I've got him." Because that's not what a bowler would say. Then he's hit me with a bit of jargon. I love it.
It's not a bowler's haircut.
Anyway, right, 01419511025. You've got until the end of this break. We'll pick a caller at random. If you can correctly identify the lie and the truth, you win your £250 thanks to Pipeline Energy Solutions.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. You can now watch us as well as listen. Hopefully you're enjoying still tuning in. Lots of people, by all accounts, are tuning in.
Let me tell you, judging by my phone in front of me, lots of people are tuning in.
Getting good feedback?
I'm getting feedback. Yeah.
Start. Anyway, 01419511025. We're just getting used to it as well. Maybe we'll start, I don't know, acting up a bit as the weeks go on. Or we'll forget, sorry, I should say, not acting up. We'll forget that the cameras are on. I still feel quite self-conscious about the full thing. But I'm very much looking forward to seeing how it plays out.
You notice I never done the celebration when I won the beat the pundit.
True, you were
week,
a bit more reserved.
Yeah. Because in the old studio, you would have had that t-shirt over your head running around.
Well, Keevans will need to swivel around in his chair. He usually does the. He points to the back of his cardigan as if there's a name on the back.
Well, there is. George.
Marvin Bartley's very animated. I don't know how he'll cope. So we'll see.
It'll be see, it's these chairs. I mean, the viewers and listeners wouldn't see us in the old place. High chairs. A lot of the guys didn't sit in the chairs. A lot of the guys stood, including yourself.
Six long seasons.
Sitting down now is going to be a problem for some, particularly someone like Marvin Bartley, who bounces about.
Literally thousands of shows I've done standing up. I've never sat down for a show. This is the first one. My knee feels a wee bit stiff. Yeah. I feel like I can do some stretches during the next part of the show. But anyway, before the break, we did tell you about something a bit different that we are doing this week and giving you the chance to win some money. So let's get right to it.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Pipe lying with Pipeline Energy Solutions.
I mean, night one of the show and the pun game has already peaked. Pipeline because of Pipeline Energy Solutions. You see what we did there. Giving you the chance to win £250 cash. All you had to do was listen to Kenny Miller read out one truth and one lie. You had to work out which one was which, and if you get it correct, you win £250. Now tonight we have on the this was extremely popular. Let me tell you, the phone lines are going crazy. But Stacey in Port Glasgow is on the line. How are you, Stacey?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Now, Kenny, remind us of your one truth and your one lie, and of course, in whichever order you fancy from before the break.
Yep, so Robert Plant, lead singer of Led Zeppelin, big Wolves fan, invited me to one of his concerts when I was a Wolves player.
Right, that was one of them. And the other?
I'm a three-time junior lawn bowl champion.
Well, is it the obvious one is Led Zeppelin, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that mean it's... That doesn't mean it's right, though?
No.
Because that's the whole point of this format. Mm-hmm. You could just be... teasing us in. Going to drop the shoulder in a minute and roll it into the empty net. Where was the concert?
London.
Which venue? Okay. What year are we talking?
2007.
What are your two or three favourite Led Zeppelin songs?
I'll be honest, I wasn't a big fan, but you know, it was an opportunity.
It must be the name one though.
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven.
If they can name that one. Stacey, which one do you think is the truth? Is Kenny Miller a veteran of a backstage trip to see Led Zeppelin, or is he a three-time junior lawn bowls champion?
I'm going to go with the latter, the three-ball-time champion.
I can't be having that. Kenny, which is the truth?
And you are bang on, Stacey.
No.
It is. And I would have been a senior champion as well if the football never got in the way.
You're a three-time junior lawn bowls champion.
I am. I think I beat my brother in the final 3 years in a row. Definitely 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Roger, you think you know a guy.
Unbelievable. A shocker. Well done, Stacey.
Stacey, superb. You have won the £250. Pipe lying, thanks to our friends at Pipeline Energy Solutions. Are you happy with that? You'd have to be, surely.
I'm ecstatic, yeah. I'll go towards my drink money for Saturday for the Celtic game, so I'm quite happy.
Listen, spend it. Please drink responsibly. I think I'm still legally required to offer that advice, whether we're on camera or not. And you'll never go past a bowling green again without thinking of Kenny Miller.
Absolutely not.
I think we should get him up in front of those cameras to show his technique.
Yeah.
Roger,
yeah.
Hannah. What was it? The drive?
Yeah, it's the drive. It's just the super fast one right up the middle. Somebody's got their balls run quite close to the jack, you just have to go super fast right up the middle.
I think the wee black blazer in the corner with all the badges down the side sort of gave it away.
What was your bowling club again?
Esmalls.
And that's and you're from Musselburgh.
Yeah.
I think that's the first ever mention of that bowling club on this show in its long proud history.
Well, there you are.
Now, I just want to invite, this isn't my show, Gordon, this is your show, but for the longevity of this show, if you're doing
if you're doing
a feature about lying, I suggest tomorrow night that maybe Mark Wilson does it rather than Gordon DL.
I'm terrified at the thought of it.
The hardest part for Gordon DL will be finding a truth.
And do you think he even knows what the truth is?
No, but anyway, just go to Mark Wilson.
We will play Pipe Lying tomorrow on the show. That's going to be tough to beat. That was outstanding from you. A dark horse on the bowling circuit. I never knew such a thing, honestly.
I'll tell you something. The front page of the Super Goals pullout in the Scottish Sun this season, at some stage, we'll have Kenny Ballard back at that bowling club in Musselburgh.
Polishing his bowls.
Something like that.
Absolutely. Anyway, at Clyde SSB on Twitter, you can give us a call 01419511025. I mean, some of the eventually, I don't know at what point, maybe February, we'll get round to actually reading the tweets out about the football. But at the moment, it's just good fun, isn't it? Just to sort of see what everyone's saying. Ian Marsh wants to know who won the golf between Gordon and Kenny Miller the other week at the Carrick. Moving on, Ian, that'll not be getting mentioned. That was not a vintage afternoon, let me tell you. What else is here? Oh, Reno Skill says Roger Hanna looks like Frasier from the sitcom.
Well, I wish I had his money.
I've heard worse. I have heard worse, but I've never. Can you see that?
That's not a bad show.
That is not the worst. And Reno Skill's attached a helpful picture. Now, what is good about this? Reno Skill has gone to the hassle of finding a picture of Frasier with the headphones on in front of a mic. So he looks particularly like you.
I think I'll have to take that.
Superb. Our Twitter audience never lets us down, honestly. Very good. Very good over there. At Clyde SSB, you can give us a call 01419511025. Of course, I'd still like to talk about the League Cup group stages at some point. So let's do that. Of course, we have all week anyway, but no time like the present and all that. Let's bring in Glenn, who's in Cumbernauld. How's it going, Glenn?
So bad. Good evening, panel.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
Good to have you, Glenn. What's your point tonight?
My point is, you were talking about your predictions for next season. Mm. Who's going to win the league? Who's not going to do this, that, the other?
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I'm a Rangers fan.
Okay.
I'm going to put it on the line now and say, we're going to win the league.
Okay.
If we don't, I will donate £500 to Cash for Kids.
Okay, now that's confidence, and please gamble responsibly and all that. But it's charity, and it's our charity, and who am I to stand in the way of a man's charitable wishes? What we'll take away from it is the football side, which is Glenn is extremely confident that Rangers are going to win the league.
Why are you so confident, Glenn?
The players that are coming in, Kenny.
Okay, who's impressed you the most?
Well, to be quite honest, the Welsh boy that is back from injury.
Tom Wallace,
Tom
Wallace, yeah. He was phenomenal last season before he was injured.
It was very good, Glenn, yeah, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing him back in the team as well.
I'm also thinking with Jack Butland as well, because fair enough, he's not played much, but he's been capped for England. He's a decent keeper. I watched him in the friendly in Germany. A few good saves he had.
Right, I mean, I think we're still light on the detail, Roger, because Tom Lawrence was signed last year. Yes, he was good. People fell, then he got injured. Jack Butland, is it enough? Is it enough to make you get 500 quid of your own money to charity?
Listen, that's up to Glenn. What I like about this week is nobody can disprove Glenn. We had Celtic supporters earlier on saying the league was going to be over by Christmas. 15 points, Celtic were going to win the league by. Nobody at this stage of the season can disprove that either. And I love the confidence of the Celtic fans. I love the confidence of the Rangers fans. I love that Glenn is going to put £500 of his own hard-earned money to Cash for Kids if Rangers don't win the league. And I'm pretty sure in the next 25 minutes before this historic edition of Super Scoreboard goes off air, Gordon, we'll have an equally confident Celtic fan who will match that.
Oh, no.
And one way or t'other, we'll get £500 for Cash for Kids.
is it, are you new to this show? The next bid, the next bid will be £501. Believe me, this is all about one-upmanship. I mean, Glenn, though, you said most of your confidence comes from the new players that have come in, but then you only really mentioned Jack Butland and referenced Tom Lawrence. Is it going to be enough?
Diallo. We've got rid of players that were dead weight as well, with Kent and Morelos. We got rid of them. Dead weight last season, done nothing, weren't interested in the club.
It's funny because
Kenny played for Rangers. Mm-hmm. He knows what it means to play for a badge.
You know, the thing with the Rangers sign, as I said earlier in the show, at this moment in time, I think when Cifuentes comes through the door, I would definitely say the midfield. This time last season, obviously Raskin wasn't in the building either. You've got Cifuentes who's coming, you've got Kieran Dowell who's been signed, you've already got Lundstrom and Jack that are still there as well. I think the midfield's stronger, and I think the front line, you know, Morelos and Kent were on their day really, really good players, but we'd never seen them on their day last year at all. Their heads were elsewhere. So you're right, Glenn, there was probably dead weight in that team. There has been now four players signed in the front area of the pitch, with the returning Tom Lawrence as well. He will feel like a new signing. So I think that whole front line now definitely has to be stronger than what it was this time last season as well. So I think there is a lot for Rangers fans to be excited about. There is still an unknown. Again, we talked about it earlier with Celtic recruitment. There is an unknown, particularly when you're coming to this city.
Yeah, it's easy for me to say. I want fans of all teams to be excited about the new season. I kind of like that about this week, Roger, that until things go wrong at 3:05 on Saturday, you can throw out any statement that you like. A bit harder for St Johnston and Dundee United, etc., after the group stages. But for those who've not yet dipped their toe into, you know, competitive action, although I suppose there have been European qualifiers for Hibs, which again, maybe left a bit to be desired. It's going to be fascinating to see how long people's confidence lasts.
Yeah, and for some Hibernian, St Johnstone and Dundee fans, it might have evaporated already. You were at Motherwell against East Fife at the weekend. Mm. You got to see 16-year-old Lennon Miller. You got to see some of your new signings. Conor Wilkinson among them. So I'll be interested tomorrow night in the debate, yourself and Gordon Dale, what the two of you make of Motherwell so far. There's a lot of confidence from a lot of teams.
You think he was there, as promised?
That's why
I didn't see him, but I'll raise this with him tomorrow.
That's why I set it up for tomorrow night, Gordon. I know where he was.
Yeah, we will see. Thank
and
you.
And it wasn't for part.
Thank you very much to Glenn 101. Is that one of the clues for Pipeline tomorrow night?
That's too dangerous. You can't. That's too dangerous. You'll have the show taken off air.
Thank you to Glenn in Cumbernauld. If anyone does want to give £501 to Cash for Kids, yeah, I mean, feel free. I don't want to make anyone make rash decisions that they can't back up. Please gamble responsibly and all that. 01419511025 or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Just to almost round off for tonight's discussion on pre-season, it will have to continue all week. That is, well, it's Rangers done, isn't it, in terms of the games? I don't know if they get any plans behind closed doors
this week. No, I don't think so. I think it's Celtic, just a week of training.
Celtic still have the testimonial, James Forrest testimonial tomorrow night. What is interesting is if you are going to pre-season games, and we keep debating how much do they matter, how much can you learn, have you seen what you think will be the strongest starting 11? That would be like the first thing you would go for, you know, a clue even. So if you don't think they matter, just even a clue to see what you do next week. Is it safe to say Michael Beale has been trying to get close to his strongest starting 11 in a few of those friendlies, and maybe Celtic, for a number of reasons, haven't done that? I know there are injuries, but as Roger said earlier, I mean, what was it, Scales and Stephen Welsh at the back at the weekend.
I think in spells of the Rangers games, whether it be for the start or maybe the last half hour of games, I think you will have seen kind of combinations of players that Michael like to see starting the season really, really well. I mean, I've got a team in my head that I think will probably play once everybody's up to speed. Is Cifuentes going to go straight in? There's one thing for sure, he's going to be starting games
quickly.
Go on then,
don't tease us like that, make it snappy though.
Well, I've gave you my back four. Obviously you're going to have Button and goal, you're going to have Tavernier, you're going to have Goldson, you're going to have Suter, you'll have Barisic. I think Cifuentes and Raskin will play as a two that Roger alluded to earlier. I think ahead of that, you're going to have Cantwell and maybe a Lammers or a Cantwell and a Lawrence. And I think you might see Dinio and Dessers as a front two.
And there we are. 01419511025. Still time for you to get in touch, and we'll have plenty more where that came from next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ah, we're nearly finished. The first one. Will it be the last? Who knows? There is still time for it to go wrong in the next 10 minutes or so. But the first ever live streamed Clyde One Super Scoreboard. How's it been?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Yeah.
Even though people are tweeting in to see you look like Frasier from the popular US sitcom.
I was expecting worse, I have to say.
Yeah, McSoonis is actually, he's gone to a very good, I mean, I'm hopeless at this sort of stuff, so anyone impresses me, but the Photoshop looks magnificently. He's got your face on Frasier's body. I think you can probably see it actually if you're watching the live stream. I'm told these things are possible. So no more will us guys in the studio be talking about all these private jokes and me showing you things. We can hopefully show it to the wider audience. So you should, in theory, be able to see this picture of Roger Hanna like you've never seen him before. And it's on the screen now. And I think I have to tell you, I've got
the ultimate authority.
Mrs. Hanna. Not having it.
Is not having it.
What, saying that he's better looking?
No, she didn't say that. No, not at all.
Just not having it. Nothing more to be said. It doesn't matter what comes out of the rest of it. Nothing's going to top the fact that Kenny Miller was a champion bowler in his youth. Honestly, outstanding. I love that.
Have you still got your bowls?
I think my dad uses them now.
Brilliant. Can I arrange that? We Clyde One Super Scoreboard trip to the bowls.
Well, we live quite close to one another. There is a bowling club.
Surely, Hugh Keevans must have frequented a few bowling clubs in his time.
There is no sporting or leisure activity at which Hugh Keevans has excelled.
He's more of a spectator, isn't he?
A commentator, analyst, rather than participant.
Gordon DL, is he a fan of the bowls?
I know he has been celebrated in bowling clubs before.
Do you know what pains me to say? He can actually turn his hand to most things. Not most things, obviously, but most sports or games. He's not bad, you know.
Yeah, good snooker player. He's quite good at snooker. Against snooker, yeah.
Good at golf. Mm-hmm. Was he not the under-13s badminton champion or something? He claims. I think that is a lie.
In Bonkle.
He's actually not bad at sort of taking to things.
Yeah.
Sporting wise, he's not great at like quizzing or anything that we do on here, but we'll find that out tomorrow. Right, before we go, I think on a St Johnston football phone in, this would have been, you know, sort of wall to wall rage and anger and frustration. I've always said that about the League Cup group stage, just a personal thing. I quite like it. I know it gives an added incentive to the summer and some competitive games, but it can really put you up against it. Not only are St John's now already before the last match day, they then go and lose 4-0 at home to League One, newly promoted League One opposition in Stirling Albion. Is that the biggest story, if you like, to come out of the League Cup group stage this season?
By a distance, Gordon. Now, I will give you a caveat straight away. St Mirren were rotten in the group stages last year. They lost to Arbroath, they lost to Airdrie. And then Stephen Robinson got it right, and they finished with their best league finish in about 40
years.
That's
why you all predicted them to struggle in the league, and then they embarrassed you.
St Johnstone have taken that to a new level. They lost at Stenhouse Muir, League Two. They lost at home to Ayr United, 2-1, and it would have been more, but Ayr missed a late penalty. That knocked them out. And then on top of that, they lose 4-0 at home to a side who have just been promoted from the fourth tier into the third tier. Well done to Darren Young and Stirling. They've qualified. They will host Aberdeen on a Friday night in the last 16. It will be very valuable to Stirling Albion. But this sequence of results has already put Stephen McLean and the St Johnstone squad under the microscope.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it, Kenny? Because you get, you know, as Roger says, St Mirren last year, it was poor, but then they recover. It looks like there's a long road to recovery for St Johnstone, and they may well do it. But as we've said, is that the biggest takeaway from the group stages?
It is. It's been a really, really poor run in that cup. You know, like losing three games out of the four against lower level opposition. It just builds a pressure on a first time manager as well that you don't really, really want. I mean, I am a fan of the format as well. I know a lot of managers aren't, but I like it. It's competitive games. It's a chance to get yourself again through in a cup competition that everybody wants to. I mean, whatever the managers like or don't like, they want to get through. You know, they want to put their team out there to win games because it's a chance to build momentum going into this league season. Or you get the opposite effect. Now you're going into it under a real pressure. Everybody's going to be questioning each other within the building. Again, just checking it, there's not been too many new signings came through the door either.
Yeah.
So it's not a good
Can it be a bit of a no-win situation for the Premiership clubs? Because it's unlikely to imagine a scenario. I did say it. I was at Fir Park at the weekend, and everyone was there, was, you know, was pleased that, that Motherwell beat East Fife, and was pleased that Motherwell topped their group and they were seeded. But no one's ever going to wax lyrical about what the Premiership team does in the League Cup group stage. So it's almost like the only thing that's ever going to really stand out is when it goes terribly wrong.
Yeah, but you need to make sure it doesn't go terribly wrong. No, St Johnson were rightly lauded a couple of years ago when they won both cups, not just this cup. They won the Scottish Cup as well, and the greatest season in St Johnson's history. Since then, they escaped relegation in a playoff final against Inverness. They escaped relegation last season, very late in the season, after Callum Davidson had lost his job. Stephen McLean, that sort of almost a grudge game at Kilmarnock. They said they would go and win. It really irked Derek McInnes. They did go and win it, and they did stay up, but it's almost as if it's all catching up with St Johnson now. They desperately need signings. The bench is full of 16 and 17-year-olds. They will not keep you in the Premiership. And Stephen McLean has said he needs 3 or 4 more signings. I think Stephen McLean needs 5 or 6 more signings. Otherwise, St Johnson are going to have a very long season ahead of them.
I did say you won't gain too much praise if you're the Premiership team, but maybe that's been a bit narrow. What about, you know, down the leagues, Airdrie, as we mentioned? Is it the type of scenario that can maybe send Airdrie into the Championship season thinking, actually, we could be in the mix at the right end of that table despite being the newly promoted side?
And why not? You know, Queen's Park did it as well, like the season before. The thing about it, you're right, the Premiership teams might not get credit, but within the building they can build confidence and momentum going into the season. Well, Airdrie have done that. I mean, they've came off the back of a wonderful season. You know, they've been there and thereabouts in League One for a number of years, and they've got the job done last season in the playoff final, and they hit form at the right time, they were scoring a lot of goals, and now they've started this season fantastic. So they'll be going into this first weekend fully confident, and yet why not? I mean, I think when you've got a 10-team league and 4 teams are in the playoffs, you know, you've got a chance. You know, it doesn't matter what team you are. I mean, you've seen the Arbroath story a couple of seasons ago as well. So it is possible that Airdrie can go up and be competing at the top end of the league.
I mean, the draw has been made, Roger. Stirling Albion's prize for that terrific group stage campaign is a home tie against Aberdeen on the Friday night, the 18th of August. Rangers will be at home to Morton the next day, on the Saturday, along with Airdrie, Ross County, Livy, Ayr, and an all-Premiership tie, St Mirren, Motherwell. I think Stuart Kettlewell would have hoped for easier, given that they were seeded. And then on the Sunday, 20th of August, Hibs, Raith Rovers, Hearts, Partick Thistle, and Kilmarnock, Celtic.
Yeah, I think it's a decent draw. Kilmarnock, Celtic was the semi-final competition, if you remember last season. We spoke about Kirk Broadfoot scoring the goal at the weekend to help take Morton to Ibrox in the last 16. The Fraser Wishart derby, St Mirren against Motherwell, will be a good game. Two matches in Edinburgh on the Sunday, because I think that's the Sunday between European ties for Hearts and Hibs by the time we get to that stage of the season. Ayr go to Livingston, and having won at St Johnstone, they'll have no fear going to Livingston. And as you say, it's a great prize for Stirling Albion. Friday night, Aberdeen coming to town. Start a great weekend of Viaplay Cup knockout football. Something to look forward to.
A bit of signing news tonight. It's always good at this time of the year when you can keep an eye and get some live breaking news. It is from Easter Road, and it is Dylan Vente, a 24-year-old, 3-year deal from Roda in the Netherlands for a fee believed to be about £700,000. Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller, that's the important bit here, because when our clubs, out with Celtic and Rangers, spend anything on a player, particularly that, It's a fairly sizable statement.
It certainly is. That will be a fair chunk of the Kevin Nisbet money that they got from Millwall. I think Hibernian needed to go and make that statement. The performance in Andorra the other night was nothing short of pathetic. If Lee Johnson thinks it's not embarrassing, he needs to go and have a think again. I think Joe Newell, who scored the goal, admitted it was embarrassing. Hibs need to get back. They need to win the game and get through on Thursday night. They need to get Martin Boyle fit as quickly as possible and into the team. And they need to hope that Dylan Vente, for £700,000, makes the kind of impact that Lawrence Shankland made across the city, Kevin Van Veen made at your place last season, and that Hibs have been looking for a year or two.
So that is us. I think we're just about there. We'll see how he gets on, and maybe we'll get some new signings tomorrow by the time we come on. Have you enjoyed it? First ever live streamed Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Did it feel any different?
Got the season off to a start, running start as well. Beat the pundit.
Bowls maestro.
Told
it
a
was
lie
all there.
On live on air.
That won't be the last. That was alright, wasn't it?
It's been great. Robert Plant's been texting me to say he did come to the O2.
I don't think we've done anything that's going to get us shut down by tomorrow, but you know, we move on one day at a time.
It's the pay you've got tomorrow that might get you shut down.
That is my worry. That is my worry. Let me tell you, tomorrow night, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, like you've never seen them before, here from 6 o'clock. However you usually listen to the show, you can keep it going and you can watch them as well if you're that way inclined. You'll be able to watch the show back on YouTube by searching at Clyde 1 SSB. And of course, the podcast, as always, is available wherever you get your podcast. We are back for a brand new season of Scottish football. Scottish football, quite simply, never disappoints. I can't wait. It's going to be quite a ride. So buckle up and we'll speak to you again at 6 o'clock tomorrow.